going to be talking part four, Building a Healthy Household, part four, in our Family Matters series. In Psalms 68, verse 6, the Bible tells us that God sets the solitary in families. He brings out those who are bound into prosperity. And as we read earlier, Galatians 6:10 in the New Living Translation says, therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially those in the family of faith. Everybody say family. So God sets you and I, friends, in families because we needed a family. And that family needed you. You being in your natural and spiritual family has everything to do with your prosperity because he sets you in families. And that those who are bound into prosperity. So we said that there are common keys previously, just giving a brief review of parts 1, 2, and 3. Success keys that contribute to our healthy, natural, and spiritual functionality, either as a family team at our home or as a spiritual family, as a church. And so we said secret or key number one was a correct priority structure. Everybody say a correct priority structure. So we talked about that extensively, but just to recap, friends, the Bible is crystal clear regarding our priorities. We are commanded by God to put him first and people second. Everybody say God first, people second. So three important truths concerning priorities. Priorities demonstrate our value system as well as the value system we pass on to our children. Secondly, number two, right priorities promote health and growth and the most important things in our lives. Wrong priorities prohibit growth and health. The number three, the three essential priorities are God, family, church. Everybody say God, family, church. Now, key number two or secret number two is the balance of grace and truth. John 1:14 tells us, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So grace and truth have a direct correlation to the relationship between parent and child in the family. So we said the formula is for parenting is relationships plus rules equals righteousness. Now, if you change the formula, you make a mistake. Relationships indicate the grace side. Rules equals the truth side. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So if you're a Christian household, you will have the balance of both. Without grace, truth alone will cause things to blow up. Break up. And then with grace without truth, things will blow up. But grace and truth, people will grow up. Amen. So if you take the formula and mix it a little bit, so rules minus relationship equals rebellion. Relationships minus rules equals destruction. So the choice is ours. We want rebellion, then become a rules-oriented only family unit. If you want destruction, let's everybody get along and socialize and have friends and act like buddies, but there's no rules. And that will equal destruction. Hallelujah. Secret number three is a healthy dependency. God created mankind to be dependent beings. Each one of us is dependent because God created us that way. We are not to be independent, but to be interdependent. Independence and isolation are perversions, and they are a celebration of selfishness. So we often said, salvation is personal, but not private. So you and I, friends, are not to live in isolation because it causes us to breed relational irresponsibility. In other words, we act like I'm not responsible to anyone or for anything. But as a family, everybody say family. We are responsible to each other, but we also are responsible for ourselves. Everybody has a place. Everybody has a part in the family. Hallelujah. And so number four was positive communication. So you have to go back, and we went through and did a lot of detail on these last three lessons. I'm just kind of hitting the high points. Positive communication. Everybody say positive communication. So happy and successful families talk. They have the ability to communicate and work through their problems. Dysfunctional families either don't talk or won't talk, or they talk the wrong way. And we talked about the power of words and how words matter. Words are the most important thing in the universe. Words make us or break us. Words help us and can help us and heal us, or they can hurt us. There's no such thing as sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. You're the byproduct of words. You often have to say, what are the words coming out of my mouth at home? Words either produce life or death. Life and death, the Bible says in Proverbs 18, are in the power of the tongue. Amen? Words set the temperature and create the atmosphere and the environment of your home. Jesus said, a good man out of the good treasure, Matthew chapter 12, of his heart, brings forth good things, the deposit of words. He said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So if you got good words in abundance in your heart, good words will come out and will bring forth good things. Words are containers of power, creative power. Words are the most powerful thing in the universe. So you often have to ask, what are the words coming out of my mouth? Amen. And Jesus made a profound statement that says every idle word you have to give an account for in the day of judgment. Now, that gives us a great indication that there are no inconsequential words. Words matter. You can hashtag that. You can tweet that. Words matter. Hallelujah. The principle, one of the principles of the law of faith is what you say is what you get. In other words, you have what you say. What you say is what you get, and what you've got is what you've said. Y'all here? Y'all going home already? Hallelujah. And then we talked about marriage matters, the foundational laws of marriage. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 22 through 25, in the New King James Version, it says, then the rib which the Lord God had taken out from man, he made a woman and brought her to the man, and Adam said, now this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And they were both naked, and the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. So you find here the first marriage performed by God Almighty. He created both Adam and Eve, and then he brought them together and married them. And based on the principle of the law first mentioned, God established laws for the marriage, intentional first intentional purpose of marriage in what he spoke over the first marriage. In other words, he's saying to us that there are laws that make up the foundation of the marriage and family. And so this scripture reveals the will for marriage and God's foundational laws for marriage. The first one is the law of priority. Everybody say the law of priority. For this cause a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave. The second law, the law of pursuit. Cleave to his wife. Third law is the law of possession, and they shall become one flesh. Genesis 2:24. The law of possession is the key to establishing trust and intimacy in a relationship. Trust and intimacy is critical. It's important. And then finally, they were both naked. Him and his wife were naked and unashamed. That's the law of purity. Everybody say purity. So purity must be upheld by both partners, marriage partners, in order for the relationship to provide a climate for total exposure, openness and honesty, holy transparency. Purity is for every area of marriage, physically, mentally, emotionally, socially, and financially. Because sin is the greatest obstacle to openness. Sin is always deadly. And we said there are four types of destructive husbands and four types of destructive wives. And what happens? From a figurative speech standpoint, they take this foundation and they begin to break it. Because we break the laws and we break down the house. Laws have to be obeyed or complied with, or they can be broken, but you pay the consequences of breaking the law. The Bible tells us in the Psalms, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? So a destructive husband or a destructive wife breaks the foundation and the fabric of that house. In the Proverbs, it tells us that a wise woman builds her house, but a foolish one plucks it down with her hands. You can tear up stuff. Why is the family so important and critical? Because God created the family first. The first institution he created was the family, the marriage and the family. And that's the one that the enemy of our soul is going after to tear up. Divorces, destruction, devastation, division. We know the principle of division. A house, a city, a kingdom divided against itself won't stand. This is not supposed to be a divided house. It's supposed to be a unified house, based on the laws and principles of God's word. Praise the Lord. So what do those four destructive husbands look like? Well, number one is a dominant husband. There's called destructive dominance. Don't have time to go into that. You have to get the CD, as we talked about in the last three lessons. Then there's the passive husband, the doormat husband. Don't stand up, don't speak up. And then the immoral husband. You know, sin matters when it comes to your family. You can do sin in private, but it's going to affect your circumstances and family in public. The principle from the Old and the New Testament is a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. In other words, you can put a little yeast in the dough, and ladies, what happens to the dough? It rises. You can do a little sin in the dark, but it's going to come to light in your family. He that covereth his sin, Proverbs says, shall not prosper. But he that confesseth and forsaketh will have mercy. Amen? Amen. That's why an unbelieving wife or spouse can sanctify the unbelieving one. A believing spouse can sanctify another one because you're the cover. But if you get, if you go off the reservation, if you run off the tracks and get into sin and disobedience, then you cause an open door for hell and havoc to come into your house. Everybody's quiet today. Number four is a distracted husband. We said before, distractions are the destruction of your dream in slow motion. The greatest defense against distraction is your focus. One of the main failures in the house, as a man of God would often say, is broken focus. People don't know their roles and responsibilities, so they get distracted. David got distracted when kings were supposed to go forth for battle in 2 Samuel 7:11. He was up on the top of the roof. He should have been out there on the battlefield fighting the demons and devils and warring with the army of Israel. But he was leisuring and laying back at home, lackadaisical, not on guard, not doing his job. And what happened? He got distracted with Bathsheba. Distractions have a purpose. They have a purpose to take you away from your purpose to another purpose. Focus is the only thing that can destroy and prevent distraction. Let's talk about the four kinds of destructive wives. Number one, the dominant wife. Number two, the enabler wife. We can meddle on there, but I have somewhere to go today, so praise God. And number three, the distracted wife. Now, sometimes social media can become a distraction when it's out imbalanced or excessive. Thank you for the amen, brother. I'm getting some support over here. I mean, if I come over here. And the emotional motivated wife. Emotion motivated wife. All right? So we go in depth on those later. So let's talk about some more secrets. Secret number five, which you want to kind of expound on today in the balance of our time. Everybody good? Proper number five is proper parental authority. Everybody say proper parental authority. So a healthy family is characterized by order and mutual respect. These elements are present in families while proper parental authority is exercised and practiced. You have to both exercise and practice proper parental authority. God invested in parents an authority that flows from Him in a Christian family context, as we understand, to the purpose of extending His will to their family and beyond. Now, the Lord told Abraham when he walked with him, I chose you, and He told us why He chose them. Because I know Abraham, and he would command his children after him. He knew Abraham would perpetuate his promise and his principles and his practices in his family. So he could count on Abraham to perpetuate God's program and God's agenda through his family. You move it over to the New Testament, and the main qualifications for leadership, character qualification of leadership, whether in ministry leadership or helps leadership in any area, in any capacity in ministry, you're no good if you have your family life is messed up. You get disqualified when your family life is messed up. It's a big deal, guys. It's a big deal. He said in Matthew 10:6-10, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I mean, you know, He's got proper authority in heaven. The word kingdom means direct rule and authority. the focus of submitted Christians' life is to submit to authority and the will of God every day. Jesus should be Lord of our lives, our marriages, and families at all times. Can somebody say amen? In this way, we live the blessing in the blessing of God, peace and presence. The Bible teaches us that authority is from God and it's for our good. In Romans 13, the whole chapter is about authority and the power structure of God. God instituted authority. Submission to authority is considered a virtue. Rebellion is a serious sin. In 1 Samuel 15, 22, 23, Samuel shows up to Saul, and Saul was supposed to get this done, this done, this done, this done, this done. It was about the Amalekites. And the Amalekites were supposed to be utterly destroyed. And he told Saul, utterly destroy the king, the army, the women, children, and everything in it. Don't leave nothing left. What do? He partially obeyed. Why? Because he was a people pleaser and not a God pleaser. Now we got to watch when we put things out of order. Amen? Because proper authority has order. Because some people don't say God, family, church. Sometimes people put family, God, then church. Everybody said that's out of order. That's just like using a toilet that won't flush. It's out of what? Out of order. Are you here today? And so, so Saul is dancing around because he said, we beat them all, we got them all, and I've got the king, Agag, the king, sitting here. I got the king, I got the king, and then I got all the animals and stuff like that. And then Samuel walks in, the prophet Samuel walks in, and he's walking in, and he says, what's that I hear? This Amalekite prosperity. I hear the bleeping of sheep and the mooing of cows and stuff like that. And God told him, have thy delight in, let's read it. Let's read it right here. Here we pick it up here. He said, Samuel replied, what is more pleasing to the Lord, your burnt offerings and sacrifice or your obedience to his voice? Listen, obedience is better than sacrifice, and submission is better than the offering of fat of rams. Rebellion is as sinful as witchcraft, and stubbornness as bad as worshiping idols. So, because you have rejected the commandment of the Lord, he has rejected you as king. He became disqualified. He backslid. How do you backslide? What is the basic principle of backsliding? You put things out of order. You slip God to the second, third. God is not going to be second. He's not going to be third. Amen? He said, thou shalt put no other gods before me. In other words, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, his way of doing things, and all shall be added unto me. That means we go under the authority of God and in the order of God. Amen? So even though he partially obeyed, remember, delayed obedience is disobedience. Partial obedience is complete disobedience. It's not 50%. God, give me credit. I did everything else except these two things. I didn't kill the king and I didn't kill the animals. And he said, no. You backslid. You rejected his king. In other words, God fired him. You fired. And Samuel took the sword and chopped the king up in pieces because he was mad. He said, utterly destroy. And here you go, half doing it, half bacon. Oh, don't shout me down. I'm preaching real good this morning. Hallelujah. And so, therefore, parental authority is a necessary, righteous influence that promotes God's will and prevents the flesh, our flesh, our unrenewed mind, and the occasional sin natures that tries to get back in us from destroying the potential in each individual family member and the family as a whole. Another point to point out that needs to be made about parental authority is the importance of the Bible puts on children obeying their parents and honoring their parents. Listen to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord, for this is the right thing to do. And you have to teach that. Honor who? Your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. Now, he took that from the Old Testament and New. God didn't change it. That was one of the Ten Commandments. Now, it's a part of our instruction today as a New Testament believer. Honor your what? Father and mother. If you honor your father and mother, verse 3, things will go well with you, and you will have a long life on the earth. See, the Bible commands us to obey and honor his or her parents. This is a first Ten Commandments God gave Moses, and it has a profound promise then, and it has a profound promise now. Amen. What is God doing? He's trying to communicate us the importance concerning the values of his kingdom, as well as the importance of authority and submission. Therefore, the parents who do not exercise righteous authority and require their children to obey and honor them aren't only creating problems for themselves and society, they're also cursing their children with life problems and pain and separated from the blessings and promises of God. Because he said, this is the first commandment with a promise, that it will go well with you. And if you're single, you know, obviously, it's important that you examine how your girlfriend or boyfriend speaks to, treats, and honors their parents. This helps you discern or distinguish or determine if they're marriage worthy, their marriage material, because you know that this is the first commandment with a promise. In other words, if brother man treats his mom and his dad horribly, I don't want it to be bad with me. I want it to be well with me. Amen. You know, you got kids growing up today, they can't stand their daddy, or they can't stand to talk respectfully to their mother. They talk to their mother like they're the child. Well, pray. Ooh. Yeah, I'm in your Kool-Aid this morning a little bit. And so they figure, well, I'm grown. I can talk and sass and talk back to my mom just any way I want to. Treat them like they're a redhead stepchild. And they think it's okay. But the Bible says honor. Everybody say honor. You got a girlfriend that dishonors their father, you need to run fast. You got a boyfriend that don't respect his mother or his father, you better run away fast. Amen. Friends, we must make a quality decision to show honor upon the chain of authority in our lives. See, God, you might think God forgot about this promise, but this is a primary promise for your prosperity. Why do you need to honor those in authority, the chain of authority, those above you in the Lord? Well, one, for the impartation of wisdom. Two, for the impact of your walk and progress in life. And thirdly, for the influence of wealth and prosperity in your life, that it may be well with you. You're not prosperous when things are not going well. And some of them think, well, I can't keep a job. I can't stay employed. I can't keep no money. Well, how are you treating your mom and daddy? When's the last time you called your mama up and your daddy up? What's the last thing you did for your mom and dad besides stick your hand out and take from them? Woo-wee. Hallelujah. So let's keep going. Let's keep going on this chart here. So we talked about, and before we get into why authority again, some more. So we said that we talked about love, and we talked about love as a choice. Love is not a feeling. Love is commitment, caring. We talked about the roles of a husband last week on Father's Day. We had a good time, didn't we? Amen. The role of a husband is to be a savior, sanctifier, and satisfier. Then we talked about the points of fatherhood ministry, and you can get the CD. It was a good service last week. But then let's talk about the covering of divine authority. Now, when God says order, it's divine. That's why we call it divine authority. God sets order. And he establishes authority. Everybody say, God sets order.
God sets order.
And God establishes authority. Everybody has a place. Everybody has a part. That way, the whole family functions well and things go well. So the father has to stay in their place. The mother has to stay in their place. The children have to stay in their place. Now, we're talking about proper parental authority. Now, what's the benefits of authority? You have it there in your handout to put in there. Number one is protection. Everybody say protection.
Protection.
Well, some of the examples are parents. You know, usually parents protect their children. Physical, mental, emotional harm. You know, if they're Christian parents, of course, obviously, not abusive parents. And then, of course, we know police officers, military, civil leaders, government, talking about school leaders, teachers, right? They protect their classroom, they protect their students, those kinds of things, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So everybody say protection. So the powers that be come from God. Let's read a little bit, Romans 13. Just give you a little one, two verses here. He says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers or authorities, for there's no power, authority, but of God. And the powers that be are ordained of God. So all authorities are appointed by God. So if you resist authority, you resist the ordinance or the order of God, verse 2, and then you receive to yourself what? Damnation. So you think of this as an umbrella or a canopy or a covering. Ask yourself the question, am I undercover? You're not supposed to be undercover, out from under the cover. You're supposed to be under the cover of authority. That's another thing for singles to look at. You dating somebody? Who you submitted to? Who's your pastor? Everybody's quiet. But if they resist submission to authority, you're going to receive what the Bible just said, verse 2, Romans 13, 2. You receive to yourself damnation. That means the blessing ain't coming, friends. The blessing's getting damned up because there's damnation in place. Are you listening to me? The curse is simply a blessing stopper or a blessing blocker. How many of y'all want the blessing on your family, in and on your family? Come on now. You got to follow the principle and the order of God. Are you listening to me? Promotion. Everybody say promotion. So this is the reason or goals of authority. Three reasons: protection, promotion. Psalm 75:6 says, "For promotion cometh not from the east, nor from the west, but nor from the south." In other words, it's not coming around you. The only people who have the privilege and the power to bring you up is people in authority. Blessings come up from up. From down. You don't get it from south below you or east and west around you. He said, but God is a judge. He putteth one down and he setteth up another. James 4:10 says this: humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. That means you get under God's authority. Humility is an act of faith that says, Lord, I'm submitting. Submission, friends, is not agreement. Submission starts when agreement has breathed its last breath and sigh, and it passes away. That means I don't necessarily agree with the methodology or the method of how they want to do it, you know, particularly in a child situation. I didn't always agree with how my dad ran the house or my mother gave me direction or instruction or correction. But a submitted child falls under authority. So I don't agree with it, but I yield to it anyway. Amen. Promotion comes from God. The Bible says Jesus humbled himself in Philippians 2 and became like a slave. And therefore God highly exalted him. So excuse the name calling, but I'll just put it as a categorization. But Disney has a lot of shows that mock parenthood. They make fun of the father, or they make light of the mother. They are diametrically chipping away at the proper parental authority. And so you got children doing a lot of correcting up. You never correct up. You respect up. Submission is the state of being obedient, the act of accepting authority of or control of someone else, to yield to or defer to or to reverence and to respect and to show honor to. So if you, you know, again, if you're single, you're dating, you say, sister, you submit it? You commit it? First, you got to be born again, right? Then you say, do you love God? Because some people in church, but they're not in Christ, or they're in Christ, but they're not in love with Christ. There's a difference. Amen? Are you listening to me?
Yes.
And then, of course, you got, are you submitted and committed? Instead of talking about your three favorite people, me, myself, and I. How's your spiritual life? How's your spiritual walk? How's your submission to authority? Are you in submission to authority? Rebellion is as the sin of what? It's witchcraft. You hook up with somebody in rebellion, you for a rough ride through life. Are you listening to me? Well, praise the Lord. I'm almost done. So this is a major key. The third one is prosperity. You see it here? We just read it. The first step toward prosperity is to honor your natural parents and your spiritual parents. Where there's no honor being shown, peace leaves and the anointing dries up. Now, you have a choice to do three things with honor. We talked about honor during the offering. One, to give honor, show honor. That's you get the reward. Second John, little John 2 tells us, take heed to yourself that you receive a full reward. There's a reward for honor. Are you listening to me? And then the second choice you make with honor is to withhold honor. Romans 13 tells us, he said, give honor to whom honor is due. Now, the Bible's pretty literal. He says, honor your father and mother, okay? Don't take a rock and sounds, figure it out. I got to show honor to my mother, father, and mother. He said, honor your wife. If you're married, you know, honor your husband, vice versa, right? He says, honor the king. So, okay, that's another person I got to show honor to. And then it goes on, it says, spiritual authorities, rendering them double honor. That means what I'm going to do normally as honor, I double it for spiritual authority. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
Now, why is this so big? Because God said the ultimate honor principle in Samuel, those that honor me, him will I honor. So if you withhold honor when honor is due, what happened? It's an act of rebellion. It's an act of disobedience. It's an act, sister, of disrespect and disregard. Is this too deep? Y'all okay? So you can withhold honor and you get only a partial reward. You got to figure this out. Some of us need to get home and reestablish a relationship with our parents.
Amen.
And remember, you don't correct up. That's not submission to authority. You look at the life of David. We just read through the Bible. If you're keeping up with our Bible reading, read through the life of David. He never dishonored Saul. He said, I can't sin against God. He said, he cut a little sliver of his robe when he could have killed him, knew he was coming after him. This was a bad boss. It's like I have a rotten boss, a rotten authority. And his friends are saying, David, get him. He's asleep. Go get him. And he said, take the spear right now. Go get him. And he stuck it in his robe, and he tore off a piece of it. And then he said his heart was convicted. He said, I'm not going to touch God's anointed. Because if I do, I sign my own death warrant. Remember, I said the honor principle is when honor leaves, peace leaves. That's why you have the absence of family peace a lot of times, a lot of strife, a lot of arguing, a lot of fussing and fighting. No peace. Because there's no honor. And the anointing dries up. The anointing is the burden-removing, yoke-destroying power of God. You wonder why I can't get my kids well. My kids stay sick all the time. They have problems in school. They have problems with their teacher. They have problems. We always get broken. Money situations always having problems. Because there's no anointing there. The anointing makes things work. And we walk around thinking that we big bad. I can do it myself. I do it the way I want to. I talk to you any way I kind of want to. Talk to the hand. Even cuss our parents out. Come on now. We need to go back to honor.
Amen.
Honor.
Hallelujah.
Honor.
Amen.
Glory to God. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. What's the promise? The promise of your prosperity. Things will go well with you. You have long life on the earth. Authority is the path to prosperity. holistic prosperity and things that you will go well with you look like this: spiritual prosperity, being born again, spirit-filled, spirit-led, clarity and clear focus on your God-given plan and purpose for your life, being encouraged. Too often people are discouraged. They have zero courage. They're out of courage. They got a deficit on courage. And then sustain spiritual zeal and energy. I mean, God wants you to feel good and enjoy good. Eat the good of the land. Somebody say glory to God. And then walking in the God-given grace, giftedness, and anointing. Physical prosperity. Sick-free, disease-free, medicine-free, healthy. Every whit whole from your head to your toes. Soul prosperity. That means a renewed mind, a renewing mind, a healthy and positive mental attitude, right thinking, word-based, word-first thinking, managed and well-balanced emotional health and well-being. Relational prosperity, which is marriage and family peace and joy, good and healthy, uplifting fellowship with others, possession of strong partner base, faithful faith friends. Come on now. When you relate up or down or across, you contribute to the others and provide energy to them, but you don't take it away. So, you know, you got people who are what we would say energy vampires. They suck the life and blood out of people. So there's three traits to proper parental authority. Number one, proper parental authority demonstrates submission to authority. See, parenting is more caught than taught. What your children see in you is more powerful influence than what you say to them or tell them to do. We often say the phrase, your actions are speaking so loudly, I can't hear what you're saying. Ephesians 6:4 tells us, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Training a child is different than the telling or verbally instructing. To train a child means to model for the child. You first start at the I model stage. You model the behavior. Then you qualify for mentoring your child. Hallelujah. To train, again, means to model for the child what is desired for him to do or her to do. As a living example, reveal to him the proper way to love God, serve God, submit to God, support God's projects and plans with your faith, obedience, and generous offerings, to love others, to encounter and enjoy life in Christ. In this way, children learn through verbal and visual messages that they can accept. Your modeling qualifies for your effective mentoring. Friends, parents, your right modeling makes your children supportive, receptive to your and submissive to your mentoring. Mentoring is what? It's the transference of knowledge, the transference of wisdom. Mentoring is learning without the pain of waiting. What you've learned, you're now able to impart into them. Mentoring is learning without the losses of wrong decisions. You teach them what I've learned through my mistakes. Are you listening to me? It's a pain to a parent to see their child make the same mistakes they did because they didn't model right or mentor at all. Proper parental authority honors God's order for men and women. Our modeling of sex roles to our children is critical to their nature, development. As odd as it seems, many parents don't realize the fact that everything they do is communicating something to their children about their own sex and the opposite sex, how we treat the mother, how we treat women, how we treat men, how we treat fathers. We're an example. We're an example. Everybody say, I'm an example. So it must be built upon the proper relationship between couple and God and between each other. Number three, proper parental authority enforces love and consistent discipline. Discipline for a child is not cruel or counterproductive, as some books and secular humanistic teachings suggest. It's not cruel to discipline. Motivation will get your children going, but discipline will keep your children growing. Hallelujah. Consistent, constructive discipline should harness and produce fruit in three prominent areas. Number one, a child's speech or talk. Having discipline in their speech, it should be a major objective and goal for a parent. Because we said there's no words, inconsequential words. There's no inconsequential words. Everything we say is scheduling our experience. I'll say it again. Everything we say is scheduling our experience. In other words, you have what you say, and you what you say is what you get, and what you've got is what you've said. You must teach your child through discipline that their words matter, that they just can't flip off and flippantly have loose lips, because loose lips sink ships. They can't say everything, text everything, talk anything, talk about everything. You got to have discipline with your speech. And then number two, a child's thought life. Understand how they think through pain and peer pressure and problems, because you ain't always going to be with them. Every time somebody says, come on, hang out with me. Come on, let's skip school. Come on, let's go smoke a joint. Come on, let's go get high. Come on, let's just get drunk. You got to know how to think. Think through problems. Think through pressure. Think through praying, because if you don't, when they come 30, you're still teaching them how to think. They're still hanging on your straps. Well, praise the Lord. They must understand that the Word of God is ultimate and final authority on what and how to think, and how to deal with cares, burdens, and stresses in life, negative thoughts, toxic and harmful thinking. You teach them how to think. What are you thinking about? Don't always run in and rescue them, but teach them how to think. What are you thinking about? They tell you about something. What was your thoughts like? Let's line it up with the Word. Let's renew our mind with the Word of God. Somebody said, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Number three, and lastly, a child's spiritual and physical discipline. Teach them how to pray. Teach them how to read the Bible. Teach them how to pray in the Spirit. Make confessions of faith. Fast. It don't have to be food all the time. They can fast technology. Put the cell phone down. Put the iPad down. Put the TV off. Put the internet off. And say, I'm going to get before God and find out God's will and purpose. I'm enrolling in college, for example. God, what would you want me to study? What do you want me to do? Amen? Saying no to drugs. Saying no to alcohol. To the horrible smoking habit. And harmful smoking habit. And unhealthy and harmful things that would devastate their life and family. Stand to your feet, please. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Y'all get something out of that today? Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.